Blog Talk Radio.
Entertainment.
And that was the one and only Jimi Hendrix on a at a different time, you could say. At a time when there was a lot more togetherness and a lot more happiness than there is, and a lot more patriotism than we see right now. But as that may be, happy 4th of July. Independence Day came and went. Thank you to our forefathers, and thank you to the men and women who served, and thank you to all who have sacrificed for our way of life. This is Derek Felix on a Hard Hits, just a Hard Hits podcast live edition, and just going to talk about a couple of topics, a couple of notable things that happened on the 4th of July. Obviously, the big one is Kevin Durant deciding to leave the OKC Thunder and sign with the Golden State Warriors. Something that I kind of referenced, kind of called it. I was kind of joking around the other night with JPG on our last show, John Ginorio, but I had a feeling, just had a feeling that the longer it went, he was going to leave. He was going to go to Golden State for whatever reason. He just decided that he wanted to leave and join the Golden State Warriors, the team that came back from 3-1 down to beat a team, the only team that he knew. They is the OKC Thunder. They never got back to the NBA Finals after losing to LeBron and Heat. And they should have gone back to the NBA Finals this year. But him and Westbrook couldn't get it done. And they blew it. They blew their chance to not only win, but I think they could have won the whole thing. And instead of deciding to come back and, you know, be a man or whatever, he decided to take the easy way out. And you know what? This is a lot worse than when LeBron James left the Cavs. As bad as that stupid announcement was with his little game show that he had, you know, you don't pick up and leave your team for the rival that beat you that came back from 3-1 down. That's just a joke. That's a joke. That's what that is. You know, I don't care how many people were there. I don't care what Steph Curry said, what Klay Thompson said, what Steve Kerr said. That's an embarrassment. And it just goes to show that even Kevin Durant, he don't want to man up. He just wants to win championship with a team that's already got a great bunch of people. And I don't approve of it. I mean, I just think it's a joke. It is what it is. It's pretty sad. I mean, this is what the NBA has become. Actually, this is what sports is, basically. There's no loyalty. And, you know, this is what free agency is. And it's not even about the money anymore. I mean, sure, could you fault a guy for wanting to win? Sure, I mean, not really. He wants to go win a championship, but I just don't see it. I mean, 2-year contract to go play with Golden State, a team that's got established stars, time MVP, a budding star, Klay Thompson. I mean, how's there going to be even enough shots for these guys? Draymond Green, too. I mean, on paper, it looks great. It makes them devastating. I just don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm not a fan of these super teams. I've never been a fan of super teams. I mean, the super teams, I mean, LeBron kind of started it. You know what? He could go back to Shaq, too. He left Orlando to go play. And then, of course, went to the Lakers. But that whole thing was botched by the Magic. And then they played together with Kobe Bryant. And they wound up winning a bunch of championships together. But I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan of free agency. I'm not a fan of what basically goes on here. I'm not a fan of this. I'm not a fan of him not be willing to announce it. He has to write an essay or whatever on Derek Jeter's Players Tribune. Give me a fucking break. Give me a break. That's a joke. You know what? I'm not going to read anymore anything else that's posted on that site anymore. Because you know what? It's just all player crap. You know, that's all it is. It's just player crap. And you know what? I can't be bothered, especially with this kind of stuff. I think it's time to take a stand. So I'm pretty annoyed. I'm pretty annoyed because I just think it's wrong. I don't think this wouldn't have happened back in the day. I don't think you would have had Magic Johnson or Larry Bird or Michael Jordan leaving the teams. Of course, the whole free agency landscape is different. But I just don't like it. I never have. And I feel bad for the Thunder. I feel bad for their fans, for their franchise. I've heard a lot of people say, well, they got what they deserve because they took Seattle's team. Give me a break. Seattle does deserve another team, but that's not, I don't think that justifies what happened here. Just think it's another player that's just, he thinks he could just go to a team and I don't know. I don't even think there's enough like basketballs for those guys to exist. It's interesting, obviously. I mean, you got a all world 27, 28 point score. You got a guard that can score pretty much at will. You've got another guard or a small forward that can score at will. You got guards, you got more forward, you got a power forward. So, I mean, it's definitely interesting. But it's kind of boring, too. I'm just bored with it. I mean, it was bad enough LeBron was with the Heat. I mean, it really was. I'm just not a fan. So, I mean, it's sad. It's sad when you agree with Steve A. Smith. It really is, but he took the easy way out, Kevin Durant. And, you know, I've always called him soft. I shouldn't call athletes soft, but I don't know. It's just not this way. I'm not buying it, man. I think it's grace, to be honest. So, and, you know, it just comes back to this. There is no loyalty in sports. Zero loyalty in sports. Truth. Be here as it may. You know, Stephen Stamkos decided to stay put with the Lightning. Of course, he was going to get the money, but he stayed with his team because he thinks he could win championships there. That's a lot more real to me. I mean, at least LeBron James came back. He did come back. But it's just, I just don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. And I don't know. I don't know what the NBA, where the NBA is heading right now. And when you see stuff like this always happening. I'm at a loss for words, to be honest. Really am at a loss for words. It's really annoying me. So, I guess I need to take a break from the NBA. So, maybe I do. Maybe I do need to take a break. Just take a break from talking about this whole thing with the free agency. And I see the Knicks made some more moves. Brandon Jennings now for their backup guard. He's not really a point guard. They don't really have a point guard on the roster, in the conventional sense. Derrick Rose is a point guard, but he's more a scorer than he is point guard. So I would have rather them had signed a point guard. Yeah, I would have rather them gone for a point guard. whether it's a Jeremy Lin or it's a, who could play a six-man role, or maybe even the guy I like that went to Charlotte, went back to Charlotte, actually. I don't know. But I like their offseason a lot better. So. And I guess it just boils down to that these guys just, they're too friendly with each other. There's too much of that. And there's not enough hate. There's not enough hate. Yeah, you want to respect your opponent, but join your opponent after they come back 3-1 down in a series you should have won. Man, I don't know what the heck to say. Just think it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. That's about it. That's all I'm gonna say about it. Bobby Holik was a traitor. He went to the devil. He went from the Devils to the Rangers. It was all about the money. And it was all about bitterness, and it was a disaster. And it happens. It continues to happen. I don't have to agree with it. So it doesn't seem to matter what sport it is. It's just going to happen. Aside from basketball, the best Grand Slam, Wimbledon, are into the quarterfinals. Minus Novak Djokovic, as I mentioned on our last show. Still hard to believe that he lost, but he did lose to Sam Querrey. Sam Querrey is into the quarterfinals, so congratulations. An American man in the quarters. That's pretty big stuff right there, so got to give credit where credit is due with Querrey. Doing what he's done, following up that big win with another win, a straight sets win, no less. It's going to be weird. Really weird without Djokovic chasing another Grand Slam and having the chance to do what Rod Laver did in an Olympic year, but except it's an Olympic year. But you have Andy Murray, who beat Kyrgios pretty easy. You have... you've got some good matchups. You got Aaron Cilic against Roger Federer in a rematch of the U.S. Open semis when Cilic demolished Federer, but that was on hard court. I think that has a chance to be a very good match. I don't know if Cilic can take out Federer on grass. I kind of expect Federer to find a way to win the rematch, but it wouldn't surprise me. Nothing would really surprise me at this point with the Wimbledon, with the men's field. The guy I really like is Milos Raonic. I think Raonic can win this tournament. And he came back. He had to come back from two sets down against a hot opponent, David Goffin, today. His big serve came back from two sets down to win 6-4, 6-4, 6-4 in the third, fourth, and fifth set. And so I didn't expect that to happen, to come off, but it did. Bernard Tomic, the Oliver Aussie, lost in five sets to a Frenchman, Sanga was an easy winner because Gasquet had to retire. I think I would have picked Gasquet to win that match. So there's only one match that hasn't been played. That is Tapas Berdych against Vesely, fourth round match. So the two Czechs are going to battle, and they're going to be at a disadvantage. Cilic beat Nishikori in a rematch in the final in 2014. Katie Nishikori was hurt and he had to retire. I don't think he would have won anyway. Querrey, after he upsets Djokovic in straight sets, I think he had 22 or 23 aces from the Czech. And he's going to be into that quarterfinal against Milos Raonic. A great opportunity for Sam Querrey. I just don't think he's as good as Raonic, and I think Raonic's not going to be coached by McEnroe, and I expect Raonic to win that match. So we'll see what happens with that. That could be a good match though. Federer against Cilic. The Frenchman, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Lucas Pouillet. I think that's how you pronounce it. Pouillet. And he is 30th in the world, and he's never been this far in a tournament. And he will face the winner of the two Czechs. I would expect Berdych to be the opponent. And I would also expect Berdych to win, but you never know. I mean, he's not going to be rested. I would expect that Murray's going to take on Tsonga. Tsonga's always a big hitter, and he does have the serve. He came back. We saw him come back against Isner. That was a tough match to watch, watching Isner lose in five sets or two sets of the lead. I tweeted him, actually, on my New York Puck account and said that I felt bad, that he lost. He tweeted me back, actually. He did tweet a response. So that was pretty cool. Responded and said, "It's okay. I'm fine. Thank you for the support." And I thought that was pretty cool. So, very nice. I hope that is not a good response. I wish him the best of luck in the rest of the season. I hope that I'm just hoping he'll get his break and that he will not, maybe once he'll finally make a second week at Wimbledon. It's not going to be this year. Murray is the overall leading favorite on his side of the bracket. And then it's pretty much pick him. Most people would expect Federer and Raonic to be facing each other in the semis. That's what I expect to happen. And I expect Murray to be in the final. And I like Raonic. I really like Raonic. And I think this is Raonic's chance. He looked really great at that Australian Open. And I think that he could do it. With his big serve and his hitting and more aggressive play, I think that he could finally break through. So that is my pick. On the women's side, I don't think anything's really changed. It's still Serena Williams being the overwhelming favorite. And she's got a good draw right now. Because Pavlochenkova beat Coco Vandeweghe, and Coco Vandeweghe would have been a threat against her. And she faces the winner of Sobolkova and Vesnina. Sobolkova against Marwanka was a classic match. Three sets. I watched the third set. There were three consecutive breaks of serve. Marwanka made some unbelievable shots. Marwanka is my favorite player to watch. I use Marwanka because of how she plays. She has great touch. She doesn't overpower you, but she has that touch. She plays like Hingis a little bit. But she couldn't pull through. Sobolkova played great, and she was relentless, and she's into the quarters. And both these players were hot coming in. Now you have Sobolkova, and I think she's going to make the semis. I fully expect her to win. There's Nina upset Makarova, and Makarova had beaten the two-time winner. Petra Kvitova was having a terrible year, the two-time winner. Halep got through Madison Keys. She cooked the first set, but she also was hobbled throughout the match, and disappointing, certainly. She lost in three sets. Kerber is who won the Australian. She's still through. You have some good matches. Venus is actually still in the tournament. Safarova got upset. So some of your matches, Serena against Pavlochenko, I expect Serena to win that. Sobolkova against Vesnina, I think Serena versus Sobolkova could be a great match. Well, I think Serena would have a little too much athleticism. Halep against Kerber is a pick'em. Halep's more of a defensive player. She's very fast. Kerber is a left. I like Kerber in that match. And Venus, I like Venus against Shabova. And well, this could be a Venus versus Serena final. How about that one last time? It could happen. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Pretty much it for this podcast. Hockey off-season continues. Check out our other shows. That's pretty much it. It is overtime. I wasn't going to do any overtime because it's pretty late. It's 1:30 on the East Coast. There was a lot of base. There's been a lot of baseball play lately, obviously. The Mets have now won 5 in a row after sweeping the Cubs. And no matter what JPG says, the Mets, for some reason, have the Cubs number, and they've beaten them 8 straight times. So, the Mets hit 10 home runs in 2 games. They hit 5 home runs off of last week. They played home run derby, basically. Now, Ben, if you're the most optimistic Cubs fan, the last thing you want to see is the Mets. You don't not want to see the Mets in October. Although, I know JPG will say it. Last year, the Cubs took care of the Mets during the regular season, and we saw what happened. But for whatever reason, they do not match up, and Jose Reyes is going to be part of the Mets now. He's being activated for, I guess you could say later today's game against the Marlins. The Mets, how hot are the Mets after getting swept by the Nets? They came back from 6-0 down to beat the Marlins, winning 8-6. And they did it by just chipping away. So the Mets are really back to playing good baseball. They're hitting again. A lot of things are going well for them. So they're up to 8 games over 500. The Nats were shut out. I have a feeling that they're going to make a push for that division. Just have a feeling. They are 2.5 clear of the Marlins for that top wild card. Wild card race is a good race, actually. Right now, you got the Mets at 45-37 for the top wild card. Actually, you know what? They're the second wild card because the Dodgers are 48-37. Yeah, they've been playing much better for them, and they have been making a push. So watch out for the Dodgers. The Mets are the second wild card, and then you have a bunch of teams chasing. You've got the Marlins, the Cardinals at 43-39. You got the Mets, you got the Cardinals, you have the Pirates. You have the Marlins. These teams are a little bunched up. The Pirates have been playing a little bit better finally. They've won 5 straight, and they're back over 500. So keep an eye on that. They're playing the Cardinals right now. They just beat them. Personally, I think the Mets are going to make the wild card. Dodgers, or it's the Cardinals, or it's the Pirates. I don't know if the Marlins have enough to stay in it. But they do have the ace in Jose Fernandez for a full season. He's probably remarkable. The offense, it's being carried by other guys because Giancarlo Stanton's been quiet. He does have 14-15 home runs, but he's not hitting consistently. Guys like Osuna are hitting, and a couple other guys have been doing some hitting for them. But I'm not sure if they have enough. I have to think that the Mets, Pirates, Cardinals, and Dodgers are going to fight. It's going to be 4 teams for 2 spots. The American League, a lot of things have changed, actually. The Indians continuing to roll. They're 6.5 up, and it's not on the Royals. The Royals, who just don't have enough pitching, they've now dropped to 3rd place in their division. So, yeah, they are, the defending champs are in pretty – they're in danger, actually, of not even making the playoffs. They've really struggled. No, they had that one series where they swept the Indians and they tied them, and then they've really fallen apart, really fallen on hard times. Hosmer and Perez are having great seasons. They're both having all-star years. Kane had one really good run for about a 3-1 run, and he's not been hitting since. But it really has to do with their starting pitching, which is falling apart. So, without good enough starters, they've even been passed by the Astros. Remember, the Astros were awful for a long time, and the Astros got their act together. They're still 7.5 behind Texas, but guess what? Right now, you have so many teams in the wild card. It is absolutely insane. The Orioles are leading the AL East. You have the Red Sox at 45-37. They are the top wild card, followed by the Toronto Blue Jays will have gotten their act together. And if they even think about moving Aaron Sanchez out of their rotation, they are nuts. They're insane. He just gave them 8 innings, struck out 9. They're 46-39. Then you have the Astros. The Tigers tied 44-39. Yes, the Tigers will have played a little bit better. You have the Royals at 43-39. And the White Sox back to 43-40 with 3 straight wins. You have the Seattle Mariners 43-40. And so you have a whole bunch of teams in this race. And no, I do not count the Yankees because the Yankees are just not that good. They have been up and down. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres. They played miserable baseball against the White Sox yesterday, losing 8-2. And they're a mediocre team, and they have to sell. I've been indecisive on Andrew Miller because Andrew Miller made his contract, $9 million a year. He signed for the next couple of years. I don't see him stay because he could be that closer, and they could get rid of Chapman. But if somebody's going to offer you a lot, they're going to offer you a lot for Miller so they can have him, then they have to do the deal. That's what I decided. You have to do the deal, though. So, and I'm also curious to see what happens with Beltran if he lands somewhere else, whether it's an American League team or it's an NL team. I mean, somebody wants to add an experienced bat, so something to look at there. The Indians, I mean, they've got a great pitching staff right now. Their pitching staff has been awesome. Certainly top to bottom. And they definitely hit enough, too. And so it's not just their staff, it's not just their pitching, it's their hitting, it's everything. And they're doing about one of their best offensive players, too. So that's pretty impressive. It's very impressive what they've been able to do. So you can't help but be impressed with what they've been able to accomplish, certainly. Danny Salazar is one of the Philly expectations. You got Tomlin. You also have Corey Kluber, although he has not pitched great. Trevor Bauer. I mean, that's a great rotation. It is. And they're all young, and they've all, like, especially the Bowers and the Galasars, they've always had the potential, and now you're seeing it. They've certainly gotten a lot out of some of their players. You had a cycle the other day from Davis, Arase Davis, who's bounced around certainly. Detroit's a solid nice player, a solid center fielder. He's actually had a good year for them, a very good year. 22 stolen bases, cycle, 9 home runs. This is a guy who's bounced around the league, but seems like whatever roster he's on, seems to make a difference. Kipnis hits for power. Napoli has been pretty damn impressive. 17 home runs. I mean, see, how many home runs did he hit all last year? Jose Ramirez is a player to keep an eye on. Francisco Lindor is probably one of the best players, position players. They don't blow you eye, but they're one of those teams. They don't have to beat you with the home run. You know, they could beat you with some innings. They just put together hits. So, and, you know, the bullpen's not great, but their starting pitching staff is excellent. It's certainly interesting to watch. They are taking on the Tigers right now. Tigers certainly have an excellent offense, the Tigers, but it's just not sort of about the pitching. And that's why I don't think the Tigers will compete. My question would be, well, what will the Royals do? Will the Royals go out and make a trade to finally get themselves a starting pitcher? Because they really need a starter. Volquez, who got started off well for them, has really slipped lately. He gave up 4 runs today in 6 of the Blue Jays, and he's got up to a 4.87 ERA. Looks like Perez has been in a slump, actually. But this is a team that just got back Alex Gordon. And I mentioned Lorenzo Kane. I think Lorenzo Kane's actually on the DL, if I'm not mistaken. So they do have some issues. They are the defending champs. They've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. So I'm not, you don't just discredit, you don't count them out, certainly, because of what they're capable of. I definitely wouldn't count them out yet, but they definitely have some issues, and the American League is stronger, for sure. So, just something to look at with them. And you definitely have to look at what they're doing right now, certainly. So, as a franchise, Kane with the hamstring is going to be out for a while. Ventura, you're done with it, or he's just a head case. So it's a headache for them. Now, baseball, if you want to look at the races, there are some guys having really great seasons. Jose Altuve is probably one of the best position players in baseball. He's leading in average. He's hitting for power, too, this year, 14 home runs. This is one of my favorite players. I play second base for the Astros, and he's been carrying them. He's carrying them, absolutely back. That's why they're in contention again. If you're looking at the MVP race, Altuve is right at the top of the list for the AL. Manny Machado is the Orioles' best position player. So he's definitely in contention. Mike Trout is always a contender. As bad as his team is, it's as great as he is. Still has the 17 home runs, 324 average, the 54 RBIs, 13 full bases, and almost 1,000 OPS. This guy is amazing. You have some candidates, certainly, on the Red Sox. One would be David Ortiz. Yes, I mean, can you put a DH there? But the OPS is so impressive, and the home production, the home runs, the doubles. He's got 34 doubles and 19 home runs and 66 RBIs, and he's hitting 339. You hope that he's doing it clean, and I don't know if he is. I mean, how could he be doing it clean? He's 40 years old. You have to question how he could be doing this at this age. Your best everyday player is Bogarts, followed by Mookie Betts, and then, Bradley Jr. Bogarts is going to be in that mix for that batting title. He's always cooled a little bit, and Altuve's been red hot. Betts hit his 18th home run. They have a great lineup, but they don't have pitching. So that's very interesting. The National League's a little different. Chris Bryant's probably the leader right now. Continues to hit home runs. He got 24 now. He's got 24, I think. So he's got the 24 home run. He's just been on fire. Tied for the league lead with Mark Trumbull. Trumbull actually should be a candidate too, but he doesn't have the average that a Manny Machado has. He doesn't play the field as well. So, but Chris Bryant would be my leading guy, followed by Arenado. I think you have to put Arenado in there. I just really like him as a player, and I just have to be very impressed with him. Now, Daniel Murphy would be in that mix, too, with the Nats leading division. It's really odd how Danny Espinosa's got 18 home runs, too. And Bryce Harper's got 17 home runs, but it's not hitting for average. And it's been an odd season. I said something about Osuna's been basically doing a great job for the Marlins while Stanton's been totally off this year. So you have some interesting candidates. I also would not discount one of my favorite players on the Diamondbacks, that's Paul Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt certainly has great overall numbers again. The average is a little down right now, but the 15 home runs, 56 RBIs, and 11 steals. He's always capable of making that punch in the second half. But Certainly, the American League, you have more candidates, definitely. You have the Rookie of the Year race, and well, you've got Corey Seager, followed by Trevor Story. Steven Matz looks like he's basically falling out because he's not as healthy. He still pitched well for the Mets, but I'm not sure if he will be in that mix at the end of the year. So that's something to look at. The American League, I mean, it's not really as clear cut. There's not a lot of great rookies in the American League. The third National League would be Diaz for the Cardinals. He's a very impressive player. He plays short for the Cards, and it's for average and has some power. So those would be my top three. And then Steven Matz, who will be in that mix he's out, actually. I think he's missing a couple of months, actually. So he's not in the mix anymore. So you've got some really good players, obviously. But you've also got players that are like a Corey Seager, who's just a superstar. He's just going to be a super duper star, Corey Seager. So that's something to look at. It's very impressive, actually. In terms of the Cy Young, I would say Chris Sale with the 14 wins, with the 9-8 whip against Danny Salazar. Those are the top two. That's your top two candidates right now in the American League. Guys that you have to keep an eye on, obviously, would be Cole Hamels, although he's been kind of up and down, but his ERA is certainly capable, obviously, of making that push. And also a couple other guys. When you look at the Red Sox, you look at the one guy, Stephen Wright, who's having a big year with knuckleball. So Trevor Bauer. It looks like it's really a it's basically a three guy race right now in the American League. And we know that closers do not get the consideration, so we can forget about that. But this is what makes the Indians so good. You have one Indian, Salazar leading the league in ERA. Bauer is 7th in ERA, 3.02. Tomlin is 9th, 5-9, 52 off Colby Lewis. And Kluber, who was a Cy Young Award winner, has not pitched well, but he's got 8 wins, and he obviously know what he can do. So it's hard to believe what happened to Dallas Keuchel this year. He's just falling back. I mean, Pineda is basically almost where Dallas Keuchel is. Pineda is because they're much better. So you give him a lot of credit. Sonny Gray was a Cy Young candidate last year. He's a 5.2 ERA. Injuries and hitting walls. I mean, it's something that happens. Marco Estrada is the Blue Jays' best pitcher, and followed by Aaron Sanchez, and they're both like in the mix. National League. I mean, in terms of National League, I mean, Kershaw is the guy. Obviously, he'd be the top guy, but he's out right now. He's on the DL with the back. Hopefully, will not be out that long. Have it up just magnificent year. Every other has slumped badly. He's definitely at a wall. The National League about 2-3 weeks ago had a bunch of guys that were underneath 2 ERA, which is dominant, including Arrieta. But things have changed. I mean, John Lester had a 2.03 or 2.04 ERA, and then the Mets pelted him. So his ERA went 2.67. He's had a great year, though. I think Lester's been better than than Arrieta has. Bumgarner has been the second most consistent pitcher in the National League, and he's never won a Cy Young Award. I certainly would like to see him win one. He'd be in the mix, you know, if there wasn't a Kershaw, he could win it. But 9-4, 2-2 low, 126 strikeouts and 114.2. He's never been a great, you know, regular season pitcher where he's dominated and had, you know, ERA at low twos or whatever. And I mean, the best he's had high twos. This is his best season so far. You know, if he could get 20 or 21 wins, he's going to be right there. But it's Kershaw's to lose. Syndergaard, who has had a role and does have pitching, falsely pitching on phone chip, pitched an excellent game in the Cubs, a bounce back game. He's got a 2.1, 9 wins, 103 strikeouts, 101 innings. He will be in the mix. Cueto has been awesome for the Giants. Giants have two of the best, like, six or seven starters, two of the best eight starters in the NL this year. Cueto, since he returned to the NL with a 2.57, 12.01 record, too. Hard to overlook that. Fernandez would be my guy to watch, and Strasburg, those two guys. Strasburg was my pick this year. He got a 2.71 ERA. And he's 11-0, and he comes off the DL, and they took him out with a no-hitter. I think he was into the seventh inning or into the eighth inning, and they had to take him out. But 6-2-3, he was, he had the pitch count. He is a magnificent pitcher, and Jose Fernandez also. So if there are two guys I would watch for, and Fernandez with 100-foot strikeouts, 100-plus innings, it's just awesome. These are the two guys to watch for. I'd expect them to make pushes. So you have some interesting storylines developing. It doesn't look like the Pirates and the Cardinals are going to be in the playoffs this year. At least one of them could still make it, but it'll be tough. It'll be hard-pressed, though. And I'm not saying that because I'm pro-Mets. I'm not a believer in the Mets. Mets are a better team, though, this year. But, you know, there is a big four-game series coming up between these teams. So, let's see what happens with that four-game series. The Mets left them last week, and the Mets had the better of Daniel Murphy's own of this year. So, certainly Daniel Murphy coming back to haunt the Mets. Their franchise. Well, Neil Walker's hit like 15, 16 home runs, so it's not that bad a trade-off when you look at it from that standpoint. You certainly had some interesting stories. CJ Cron with the six-hit game. You had Wilmer Flores with the six-hit game against the Cubs. A lot of interesting things have happened this year with the baseball. The All-Star break is coming soon, so that's something to look at. Of course, you'll have some players getting in that shouldn't get in. So that's definitely worth noting. And, of course, you have the off-season with the basketball, which is just chaotic. With Kevin Durant deciding he wanted to leave. And he's now going to be a Golden State Warrior, and I really hate it, but this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with players that just don't want to they don't want to compete. It's not so much they don't want to compete. Don't want to stick with their teams. And I really liked what OKC did with the trade, making the trade when they traded Ibaka because they knew they weren't going to be able to re-sign him, and they moved on. You know what the sad part is? You had Durant commenting on the move that they made, trade with Orlando, and saying that he liked the move. And what a hypocrite he is. What a freaking hypocrite he is. He really is. And I think that's what bothers me the most. I mean, say, you know, the old people was a good move, and it was a good move. It was a really good move, getting him, getting Old Depot, getting Sabonis, and getting Ilyasova. It was always a service guy off the bench that could rebound. But yeah, it's a great deal. But I think that's a potential great trade right there. How will Old Depot do? What's going to happen with Russell Westbrook? Are they going to get rid of Westbrook too? Are they going to just change their whole franchise? Yeah, it's kind of, I'm kind of bummed. I am bummed, actually. Because when these things happen, it does destroy franchises. It's a shame. Do for this show. The next show will probably be just back to a regular show with JPG. Probably 10 o'clock tomorrow night or 11 o'clock. It's going to be one or the other. We'll just do a regular, I guess even a regular half hour or hour, depending how I feel. But that's pretty much it. A podcast edition here of the Hard Hits with Derek Fields, and I am under the weather. So, what do I have to say about holiday? What's my final word on all that stuff? On a free agency, take it from my man Ronnie Dangerfield. Back to school.
Good teacher. He really seems to care about what, I have no idea.
Yeah. You said it, Rodney. God. Really wish Rodney Dangerfield and George Carlin was still around. But they are legends, and as you know, legends don't die. So we will see you all tomorrow. That's pretty much it. Peace out.
before.